Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8, verse 1. And we've been studying on Wednesday night the Sermon on the Mount, which ends at chapter 7. And the last verse of chapter 7 says, "For Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So we're going to look at Jesus' authority today. Amen. A great problem in our nation today is the idea of authority. I understand it when a person's 13 or 14, they say, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do." And I want to say, as long as you live, somebody will tell you what to do. Well, we want God telling us what to do. So God has all authority in heaven and earth. Amen. And so Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing. Be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your divine presence. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God, to deliver the truth of Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing to me that Jesus went where no one else would go. He ministered to people that nobody else would have anything to do with. And surely a leper is someone that the public would have nothing to do with, because it was contagious and it was something that would kill you. Amen. They didn't even have a vaccine. But Jesus, creator of all things, you say, "Well, I thought God did that." Well, Jesus was God, is God. Three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, or the Word of God says, John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made." And so we know that obviously God had authority that no human ever had. And the only way that God, or that what God did, was come in humanity. And when Jesus spoke, things happened. Now he would minister in that authority that he had. Amen. That's hard for me to understand. I do understand it was God. That God could speak and things were created. We just studied in Sunday school how that God created all the stars that are in there and all the planets and all the galaxies beyond things we don't know about, and he calls them all by name. Man, we have trouble remembering each other's name. But anyway, God is who he is, and Jesus was God in the flesh, come to us, and he's resurrected today and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's not sort of God, he is God. Amen. And so Jesus would minister in authority to all things. He had authority of all over all disease, sickness, infirmity. He would show that. And this day he ministers to a leper, someone that no one would come close to. And the plight of the leper was one with no hope. And the leper was required by law to exhibit signs of mourning by tearing his clothes, having his head uncovered, better, his hair messed up. Amen. I went to college with a girl one time. Her hair looked like the explosion of a mattress factory. That's not scripture. That's just Ken. But he would cover his mustache by throwing his skirt over his garment over it. And the leper had to warn people that approached him by crying out, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." He had to stay a stone's throw away. And he had to abide outside the community, outside the city. So he was banned from being in contact with anyone because leprosy was contagious. It could spread. But the sin of the spiritual leadership in Jesus' day was that the spiritual leadership did not believe who Jesus was. They were plagued with unbelief. Not so much that they were plagued by unbelief of what could happen or what could be done, but they were plagued by unbelief of who Jesus was. And He was and is the Son of God. And He proved that He was the prophesied Messiah. And His authority over all things as He ministered to people would show that He was the Anointed One, the Messiah that would come, and that He would be King of Kings eventually and Lord of Lords. And so they were plagued with unbelief that Jesus was the Son of God, but His authority would be demonstrated in ministering to every need. After His Sermon on the Mount, He began His ministry and began delivering people from disease, sickness, demon possession, and all other things that they were bound by, and this showed that He had authority over all things. And I want to tell you today, God hadn't lost any of His authority. He still has the power to heal. He still has the power to redeem. Amen. Still has the power to meet any need that you have. Amen. Miracles didn't pass away when the apostles did. Many of you are testimony today, God, that God has done a miracle in your life. You'd be dead if it wasn't for God and His grace. Myself included, and you too. Many of you come near death, but yet God showed that He was still the healer. I can tell you today, He still heals the sick. He still delivers the oppressed. He still sets people free from addictions and things they can't get rid of on their own. It takes God. Let's look here at God's authority, or Jesus' authority over leprosy. Leprosy was a dreaded word of that day. It's like the cancer word of us today. Nobody wants to be told that they have cancer. I heard of a man going to the doctor one time, and the doctor told him, said, I hate to tell you this, but you are terminal. And the man looked back at the doctor and said, Doctor, you also are terminal. So, pointed out the man wants to die. We got to be right with God when we die. So, leprosy was a dreaded word of that day, like cancer is today. It would eat away and take off body parts, some forms of it would. And eventually take away life, and people would die miserably and die in pain. There were several forms of leprosy, but it was as a dreaded contagious disease. So the leper lived alone. He was cut off with contact with anyone. He could have fellowship. He could not have anything in common. He could not talk or get close to anybody except another leper. That's all. And they were scheduled to be outside the gate of the city so they wouldn't be in contact with anyone. And perhaps this particular leper had heard Jesus' works. Maybe thought, if I can just get to Jesus somehow, I know I'm not supposed to get close to Him, but somehow, maybe there's hope for someone like me. Let me tell you something, friend. There's hope for you, there's hope for me, there's hope for anyone and everyone that'll come to Jesus. He didn't leave anybody out. Praise the Lord. Society may leave people out, but God leaves nobody out. And so this missionary at the time, some years ago, was in a prison. He was talking to people on death row. And he was preaching to them, and these people were there for life, and they were on death row, just a certain scheduled amount of time, and they would be executed for their crimes. And this particular missionary had him here in our church, still support him today. He's not in the prison ministry anymore, but he was then. But he said, somebody called out to him and says, hey, preacher, I'm on death row. I'm supposed to die here in a few days. Is there any hope for somebody like me? Our missionary friend went and said, yes, there's hope for you. Went and prayed with him. He gave his heart to Jesus. And he died, but he died right with God because Jesus came to save the lost. Amen. And that's what He came for, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save people that didn't have any hope or no hope whatsoever, had been condemned and rejected by humanity and by society. But Jesus saves those who cannot save themselves, and He can save anyone and everyone that will call upon His name. And so if we look at the book of Leviticus, we won't stay there very long. He was lonely. The leper was lonely. He was separated from society, from friends. He was a society's outcast. He was the kind of person nobody wanted to be around. And I know, Mary, you may be thinking there's people today you don't want to be around. Let's just leave it there. Nobody wanted to be around the leper. But you see, he could not have fellowship or communion with anybody, even people that were close to him, because they might catch leprosy and die, an awful disease. But you see, God meant for people to be together. And God created mankind, and he created a woman because man didn't need to be alone. Now, I'm not going to preach on marriage, but I'm just telling you, God meant for people to be together. It doesn't mean you have to be together at everything. It doesn't mean that everybody you know have to invite over for lunch. Some people you just rather just say, it's nice to meet you, have a good day. But you see, the church was people gathering to worship God. And the church wasn't man's idea, it was God's plan. It wasn't an idea that just slipped into God's mind sometime or another. God made the church, and he is the head of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in Hebrews, it tells us there, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the coming, the return of Christ. My friend, we cannot let this day slip upon us unaware, and it shouldn't, because we were warned time and time again that Jesus could come any day, any time, at any hour. We should just be ready to meet God. It's useless to sit around and try to set a date or a time when Jesus is going to come. He's not going to tell anybody. I mean, only the Father knows that. He didn't tell any angel. He didn't tell anybody else. He's not likely to tell you or me. But he's going to come, and it'll be a day just like today. It could be before I get done preaching. Amen. It could be tomorrow. It could be 20 years from now. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I just know we're supposed to live like he's coming today, because he may. Okay? And so we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. And we're supposed to gather together in one accord to pray and to worship. Not together on internet, not together on TV, but together in one accord, person to person, as we can. Amen. I'm glad for the internet. I'm glad for Christian television, that people can hear the word of God that cannot get up and go to church. Amen. It's the ones that can that won't. That's the ones I'm worried about. And many people have this God. They play with their cell phones all through church. If you're guilty, look at me. Okay. Few honest people. Okay. But don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. My friend, we need to encourage one another in the faith. We need to help one another. We are people living for God. We're separated from the pursuit of sin, and we're in the pursuit of God Almighty and his purpose and his will and his plan for our lives. We need each other. Praise God. And so we need to fellowship with those who are like-minded, to lift one another up, to encourage one another in the faith. Praise the Lord. But here, leprosy is a disease, but also in the Scripture, leprosy is a type of sin that separates mankind from God. And let's look at it in that definition for a moment. To be separated from love, hope, and peace, and from all fellowship and all kinds of good, that's who God reaches out to, the people who have no hope, have no love, have no peace. But Jesus reached out to give all of these. And God is all of these. Jesus is hope. Jesus is love. Jesus is peace. And God is all these, and he promotes these. Amen. This world may promote various things, so you'll have hope if you'll go here. Amen. You'll have hope if you'll go there. If you'll send me $100, God will send you $1,000. Amen. You send me $100,000 first, and then I'll send you $100, see if it works. There's preachers that'll do that. Not this one. I'll say, because God reaches out, Jesus reaches out to all people to give hope, to give love, to give peace to people. And it's hard for me to think of eternal separation from God. That's what hell is. It's something that eternal separation from God. Nobody in their right mind wants to be involved in what the Bible calls the second death. Yes, we will all die once physically, but the second death is eternal separation from God, where people live in a state of death and dying throughout eternity. That will not be good. Some of you have. I've seen people take their last breath and die. I almost died myself. But yet, we know that God, we know that those that are ready to meet God, there's a certain security and a peace that they're going to be with the Lord if they're saved. On the other hand, you don't want to see an unbeliever die. You want to lead him to Christ. Do everything you can to lead him to Christ before he dies. Amen. Because you see, sin separates from God's love, separates from His compassion, from His mercy and His help. Can you imagine a place where there is no mercy, where there is no help? There's not at least not one single word of encouragement to anyone ever. That's what hell will be like. You don't want to go there. You want to go to heaven. The Bible says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Not an absent help, not I might be there, but a present help in time of trouble. God never forsakes you, never leaves you. You cannot say, if you're following God, you can say, well, God's not present today. He is present. If you're born again, birthed of God's Spirit, then God's Spirit dwells in you. He's with you always, even to the end of the age. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus came to reach out to people that had no hope, no love, and no peace. And surely the leper here didn't have any hope of ever being any better than what he was. But sin, if we think of leprosy as sin, a type of sin, it separates from God's love, His compassion, His mercy. But once we were so plagued with sin that we were spiritually unacceptable to God. My friend, if you're wondering what salvation does for you, you should read the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Because it's there that in Christ we are accepted by God. Not outcast, not the last one to be chosen, not on the outside, but God chosen us to be with Him forever. Amen. He didn't choose you and I because we were better looking than somebody else. You know that if you're looking forward. God chose us because He wanted to save humanity. Because He loved us, even when we were in our lowest state. And Jesus loves the kid or the older person that's starving to death because they can't find enough to eat for one more meal. Jesus died for that person and loves that person just as He does some high-ranking person that wears a $1,000 suit. That's not me. Anyway, I wouldn't give $1,000 for a suit. Got a robe waiting on me in heaven, and it's free. Praise God, you do too if you're saved. But let's look at this. Here we have a leper, and then we have faith in who Jesus was. The leaders here were plagued with unbelief. Scribes, Pharisees, they believed that God could do anything in the Old Testament, but they failed to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And many reasons, because Israel has always wanted complete separation and independence from any other and every other country or any other ruling power. And so many wanted a militant Messiah who would deliver them from present Roman oppression. How many people today want to be saved? Just so they can get over the hump that they're in right now. Just so they get past the trial that they're in right now. God, just deliver me right now. And then after God delivers them, they have no more use for God until the next thing they come against that they don't have any answer for. That's not the way to live for God. But their faith in who Jesus was, they wanted deliverance as a nation. Yes, when they expected their Messiah to be a militant person who could deliver them from Roman oppression, to be stronger militarily than Rome. Because Rome was a world power. It was ruling at that time, the time of Jesus. And Jesus came on the scene and showed who really was in charge. He didn't deliver them from Roman oppression, but He delivered people that Rome could never deliver, like the leper here. This leper somehow or another, he believed in Jesus' authority. Perhaps he had heard of the things that Jesus had done prior to this. And maybe he was tired of dead religion that offered no hope and no deliverance. All people should be tired of that. Because the world is full of religions because people want to worship something. And Jesus is the one that must be worshipped. He's the answer. Amen. And he says, Lord, if... He calls him Lord first here. He said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He had faith here. The leper was thinking, if I can just get to where Jesus is, I heard this miracle worker, maybe he can change something for me. Maybe he can take a person like me and make something else out of me. Maybe he can do something for me because nobody else can. I can't get close to anybody. I have to holler out that I'm unclean. I have to cover myself. Amen. I have to pull my clothes up over my head so everybody will know I'm a leper. And he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Let me tell you something, friend. And all you'll face, if you can't, God can. If you can't receive deliverance, God can deliver you. If you can't be calm for the troubled things that are going in your life, I want to tell you, God can calm the troubled waters of your life, and God can give you peace. And God, it doesn't mean the problem will go away, but you'll have somebody to walk you through that has authority over all things. Amen. I've faced things in life I didn't want to face. And you have too. And you've seen other people face things and you thought, dear Lord, I hope I don't have to go through that. I hope I don't have to face that. But I want to tell you something. The same God that healed the leper here, the same God that raised the dead, the same Jesus he's coming back again one day. He still has all authority in heaven and earth. You're not out of God's help or God's hope. Because he still has authority over all things. And so Jesus did the unthinkable here. He reaches out, verse 3 here, he touched him. Oh, don't touch that guy, he's got leprosy. You'll have leprosy if you touch him. Jesus put out his hand, verse 3, is saying, I am willing. So Jesus touched him. Amen, if you're looking for a sermon, this will work. Jesus touched him, Jesus spoke to him, Jesus healed him. There's 3 points if you're a 3-point person. Some of my sermons are like a fat man caught in a barbed wire fence. Just a point here and a point there, you know. Okay. So Jesus reached out and touched him. Thank God for that. I was at youth camp when I was 16, I believe. And I was involved with the Country and Western group. We were singing. We hadn't made it to Nashville, never did, thank God. But anyway, we sang for church suppers and farm suppers, and they let us sing some of the country and western songs that I shouldn't have been singing because they promoted things that I didn't believe in and didn't do, but I sang about it anyway. I didn't sing. I played the bass guitar. But anyway, I went to that youth camp saying, God, something's got to happen in me. And I was in church every Sunday. Something's got to happen to me. I can't go on like this because I was feeling guilt in my heart, in my life. It was because of the music I was singing. You say, well, does it matter? Yes, it matters. Who are you promoting? You can't promote wife cheating, man cheating, whatever you want to call kind of cheating, and drowning things with Coors because they don't drown everything. If after a while, if you try to do that, you find that sorrows can swim. And so I went to that youth camp, and a man there sang, and he was a great evangelist, and he sang a song called Touching Jesus is All That Matters. This guy could play a piano better than I could look at one. And he played the piano, and he sang Touching Jesus is All That Matters. I'll tell you, when he got ready for the altar call, God said, okay, I've been dealing with you. You go to that altar. And I did. And all that mattered to me that day was getting of Jesus touching me and me touching Jesus. That's all that mattered. And so Jesus touched me. God prayed me. He got me prayed through. Amen. And God did a work in my heart. Life went back and resigned as a great bass player from a group that nobody knew about. So that was deliverance. But you see, because Jesus, touching Jesus was all that mattered. And I want to tell you, to this man here, getting to where Jesus was all that mattered to him. And he said, I got to get to this Jesus. I've got to get there somewhere, some way, somehow. If there's any hope for me, maybe this Jesus that I've heard about, his healing power, maybe he can do something for me. And so he came to Jesus, and Jesus reached out and did the unthinkable. He touched him. And Jesus said, I am willing. Amen. And Jesus has always been and always will be willing to touch anybody, help anybody that's in need. He can save the lowest, the dirtiest sinner that you can think about. People that you wouldn't touch, God will touch. Amen. Jesus took one of the great persecutors of the church and saved him and made him the greatest preacher ever known, the Apostle Paul he became. But he was a persecutor of the church before that. I'm here to tell you that God can take something that's filthy and make it clean again. He can take somebody that's unworthy and not worthy and make them worthy. And if there's any worthiness in us, it's because God has made us worthy. His blood has made us worthy. Otherwise, we're not worthy. Okay? And so, Jesus said to him, he says, I want you to go to the priest, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And this was Old Testament scripture. And in the history of the church, for the church, nobody had been cleansed of leprosy ever and had to go to the priest to be pronounced clean. And so this was a new thing. Jesus said, I want you to go to the priest. I can see the priest when the leper got it in stone's throw distance. Get away from me. No. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And this would prove to the priest, if he had any sense, that Jesus was the Son of God. And so he went, and there was no other history of anybody being healed of leprosy in the Old Testament except Miriam, which is the sister of Moses and Aaron. She got a little too hot for her britches, and God sent her outside the camp for a week. That is scripture, maybe not just like that, but. And God healed her. And in Israel, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. But none of them was cleansed except Naaman Assyrian, the Assyrian. And he was a great man. He was a leader of a great army. Many times the army that was against Israel. But he came to Elisha, and Elisha healed him. Or prayed to God and God healed him. But that's the only instance of people being healed of leprosy. But God can cleanse anyone from any sin and can cleanse people from everything that separates them from the love and the mercy of God. He can cleanse the guilt, the shame, the loneliness, the holding of grudges. Amen. Should I pry deeper? God can set people free of things. Some people deal with guilt all their life of something they did years ago, and they know that God has forgiven them, but the devil tries to bring that guilt back up on you time and time again. I'm going to tell you, friend, let it go. If you've repented and asked God for forgiveness, you just let it go. Consider it something that's past, that's gone, that God has buried in the sea of forgetfulness forever. He will not hold you against your sins against you anymore. Amen. And some people are ashamed of various things they've been through. All shame is bore at the cross, friend. Loneliness. Some people are lonely. Surely this man was lonely. He couldn't associate with anybody except another leper. But he was lonely. But you see, God fixed that. Let me ask you something today. Do people need cleansing today? Or was it just the people in Bible times? No. People need cleansing. Are people spiritually filthy? Many people are. Is the church absolutely clean today? Is the church that tries to justify sinful things spiritually clean? No. I don't care. People may make up a new word or a new way to say sinful things and call you a Christian this or a Christian that, but if you're not born again of God's Spirit and sanctified by the blood of Christ, cleansed by the blood, then you're not right. You're filthy. You need cleaning. You know, it's an humbling verse in Isaiah 64 and 6. It says, "For we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness is like filthy rags, and we fade away as a leaf in the wind." God will accept no righteousness except that of His Son. And by faith, when we come to Christ, God covers us with the righteousness and the perfection of His Son. That's the only way that God can stand to look at me. But thank God that He can. He hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And this is Mission Sunday, so I want to talk about the lost for just a minute here. I think I already have, maybe. But there was a church that God impressed upon Paul to found, to plant a church in a town that nobody wants to plant a church in, and that is Corinth. Corinth was known for its immorality. And to play the idea as a Corinthian was the same as saying that you are a prostitute in Las Vegas. Nobody wanted to be from Corinth because you were labeled with a sexual sin immediately if you were a member of the city of Corinth. Okay? But God moved Paul there, and He says, "I want you to plant a church here." Can you see Paul saying, "God, really? Here?" But He did. And God saved people out of the most awful sins you can think of and planted a church there, a powerful church, a church that would remain. Not just somebody that got excited for a night or two and then it was over. No, He planted a church there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It tells us a few things. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, "Do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Then it gives a list of people that are not going to be in heaven. "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." You say, "Well, that's pretty bad. I'm none of those." Well, you know, you go to hell for lying too. So anyway, none of those. And then Paul doesn't leave it there. He says, he looks at the church at Corinth, sees those people, and says, "Such were some of you." Not presently are, but were some of you. Then he says, "There's good news for you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And God took people nobody else would have, nobody else would touch because they were so morally corrupt, and God made a church out of them. My friend, everyone here today, if you're born again of God's Spirit, you're a part of God's church, but God would take even me and even you. We're born again. Praise the Lord. I always want to put myself there because we're all saved from sin, from the pursuit of sin to the pursuit of things of God. Okay? And I want to look at this for just a moment. You know, say, well, we're getting close, we're past close. "Such were some of you. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified." They had been washed from their sins, you know, Revelation 1:5. "And the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." So we're washed. And we're washed by the water of God's Word. Ephesians 5:26, "that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word." As we come under the Word, the Scripture of God, the sanctity of God's Word washes us and cleanses us. It tells us what sin is, but tells us of a Savior that can deliver us and set us free, clean us up. Amen. And He does that He might present Himself, her, the church, to Him as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. And they were washed, they were sanctified. You can preach 10 messages on sanctify. I won't. Sanctification simply means separated from evil and devoted to God. And that comes through the cross of Christ. Hebrews 10:10. "But what but that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And they were sanctified and they were justified. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, declared not guilty by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. My friend, this leper took a step of faith and said, I just got to get close to Jesus. And Jesus said, I am willing. He said, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was gone. This contagious disease that nobody wanted to be around, it was gone completely because the Son of God with all authority in heaven and earth said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And then he said, go testify about it to the priest. He saved him, cleansed him, made him evangelist immediately to the priest. Amen. Praise God. So God has authority over all things. Praise the Lord.